Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I trust that wherever you are listening in from, you'll be encouraged by what you hear. Just want to remind you that you can join in the conversation raised by this sermon during the week by subscribing to The Big Three, a midweek podcast where Matt, Jess, and I sit down and unpack three big questions that were raised in the sermon. You can also download a discipleship menu for this sermon. The menus are a selection of activities that you can engage in on your own with a friend or even in a small group to put this message into practice in your life. You can find The Big Three wherever you listen to podcasts, and our discipleship menus are on our website, gamiabaptist.org.au, under the Next Steps and Growing tab. In this week's message, we continue to explore the third relational context that God uses as we follow Jesus, the personal context. In the personal context, between 5 to 12 people regularly gather to experience closeness, support, and challenge. If the divine context is God and you, and the transparent is you and a few, the personal is you and a crew. This week, Associate Pastor Matt Willis encourages us to think about three things that make a life group successful.
Well, good morning and welcome to another week of Church Online. I hope and pray that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're staying safe and that you're encouraged today as we continue to explore how and where we can be sowing into and be intentional about our discipleship. If you're joining in for the first time today, you have come in the bang smack middle of our series as we explore five different relational contexts, each with their own purpose, with their own goals, each contributing something different to our discipleship. And this week, we're continuing in the personal context. You and a crew, you and a small group, or as we call them here at GBC, you and a life group. Now, last week, Mark Rader kind of opened up the personal context for us and explained that these small groups, they create closeness, and from that, they facilitate support and challenge. And today, we want to kind of unpack for ourselves how we can then utilize the personal context, how we can live within that space and experience that support, that challenge. And if you missed that message, I encourage you, go back onto our GBC Sermons podcast, listen to it, because it really creates a solid foundation of what the personal context provides for us, what it makes available to us. And I think the interesting thing is that the personal context, these small groups, have always played a significant role in the discipleship of Christians since the beginning of our faith. Since the time of Jesus. I'm not sure if you're aware, but archaeologists believe that the first ever purpose-built church, a church much like the one I guess I'm standing in now, the first space that was ever built for followers of Jesus to come together and worship him, to learn from his teaching, the first ever purpose-built church was built somewhere in the middle of the 3rd century during the reign of Constantine the Great. And yet, what we know from Scripture, from the book of Acts, is that Christians didn't wait for the end of a building process to start sowing into their faith, to start sowing into their discipleship. No. What we see in the book of Acts is the story of the early church and them gathering together in homes, in small groups. And what we see in that story, what we see through that journey, is that the church in homes around the place grew exponentially. People's faith was transformed. Their discipleship was deepened long before we ever had a building to gather together in like this. And so this practice has been sowing into the discipleship of Christians for thousands of years. So we know and can believe and trust that the personal context is one that has great value for us. And so we want to consider, we want to take some time this morning to consider, how do we then live within the personal context? How do we use the personal context for all that it's worth so that we can experience that closeness, that support, and that challenge? And so that's what we're going to unpack today. But before I do that, there are two things that I just kind of want to acknowledge from the outset. And the first is to reiterate something that Mark said for us last week. And that is this: small groups can take a variety of different forms. For us here at GBC, it takes shape in the life group ministry. These 40 odd groups that meet both line and, well, before COVID, face to face throughout the week, who meet together to intentionally sow into each other's discipleship. But the reality is that small groups can take a variety of different forms. It might be a family unit, grandparents, aunts, uncles, parents, children coming together as followers of Jesus who already have that closeness together, and so use that to support and challenge each other's faith. It might be a group of people who have just been thrown together because of life. Maybe a group of parents whose kids are in the same classroom, who play the same sport, and they're all followers of Jesus, and so they want to be intentional when they meet together. It might be a group that's been created for you through school or uni or work. All of these are small groups, and all can learn from what we want to discuss today, from how we can be living out the personal context wherever we find ourselves. So I want to acknowledge that for some of you, you might already have those small groups in your life, and we can still be living within that space. And the second thing I want to acknowledge is the circumstance that we're in. Today, I want to be challenging and encouraging each and every one of us, myself included, about what we can contribute to the personal context, what we can bring into a life group so that we can experience all that it has to offer. But the reality is that life is tough at the moment. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the burden of it all, the peaks and troughs. I have good days, I have bad days, and I have days where I just cannot even consider it. And so I want to say something again that Mark has said throughout this entire process. Please be kind to yourself. I want to encourage us today about the cycles that we want to see within our life group. But the reality is that sometimes there are seasons that we just need to take a step back and look after ourselves. And I want to encourage you to do that as we consider how we can live within the personal context. But with those things acknowledged, let's get into how we can create a cycle of how we live within our life groups and how we can utilize our life groups within our community. And I think the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to launch straight out of Scripture. If we're going to learn how to live out the personal context, it's got to be found in Scripture. And so if you've got your Bible with you, I encourage you to open them up to Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 23. And it reads this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I think the author of Hebrews really speaks into three things that we as individual followers of Jesus can contribute to whatever small group we find ourselves in. We need to remember to meet with one another and commit to meeting with one another. We need to be unswerving in our focus of discipleship, and we need to spur each other on by caring for one another. We need to commit. We need to focus on discipleship, and we need to care for one another. And I believe that when we contribute these things as individuals into a group like a life group, then that's when we start to experience that closeness. That's when we can start to experience that support and that challenge. And that's when we can start to see our life groups really shaping and transforming our own discipleship and preparing us to go and make disciples as Jesus commands us to do. So let's first start with commitment. I think commitment is a word that's kind of gotten a bit of a bad rap these days. I don't know about you, but when I hear the term commitment, it kind of feels restrictive, it feels constrictive, it feels like it's tying me down, like I'm not able to move, like it's almost burdensome. And so as a result, we kind of take a step back from commitment. We don't want to commit because we feel like it stops us from being able to move, from being able to be flexible. And so we think of it as in this really negative way. But the truth of the matter is that commitment is not a bad thing. Quite the opposite. It is a great thing, and it is a priceless gift. Commitment is a gift that you can give to both yourself and to others. It's a gift to yourself because it's about acknowledging that something can bring value into your life, and particularly in this context, something can bring value into your discipleship. And so to make the commitment to be present, to be available, to be there is a gift to yourself because you are best preparing yourself to experience all that a life group, a small group, the personal context has to offer. It's about being present so that you are ready to experience the fullness of the personal context. It kind of got me thinking about runners. I don't think about runners that often. I don't think about sport that often, but the Olympics has been on and it's even rubbed off on me. And it's no surprise that runners don't wait for the sound of the gun before they start preparing to run the race. No, well before that, they're stretching, they're warming up, they're shaking it off. They're stepping up to the mark. They're positioning themselves on the starting blocks, and they are ready, ready to launch themselves into the race, ready to launch themselves into the very thing that they're there to do, which is run. And so when we commit to a life group, when we commit to a small group, we're doing the same. We are stepping up to the mark and positioning ourselves in the best place so that we're ready to launch ourselves into our deepening and growing discipleship when the moment arises, when the gun goes off. Because the reality is that discipleship, it takes time. And those moments of deep growth and kind of those light bulb moments of our discipleship, they don't happen all the time. And so we just need to remember to be present, to be ready, to be on our mark so that when the gun does go off, we're ready to experience the fullness of what the personal context has to offer us as individual followers of Jesus. Commitment is a good thing, and it's a great gift that we can give ourselves to be ready to be shaped by the personal context. But commitment is also a gift for others. Those who we are in a small group with, those who we are in a life group with. Back when we could meet here face to face, I know it feels like forever ago, but back when I would walk into this building and see all your wonderful faces and greet all of you and hear about your weeks, I was always struck by the diversity of lives that we have here in this community. The diversity of victories and failures and experiences and lessons learned when it comes to this journey of faith. And I was always so hungry to hear more stories, to learn from each and every one of you, because I knew that there was potential in every single person who calls GBC home. And when we commit to a life group, when we commit to a small group and committing to being present in that personal context, we are bringing with us all the potential that our journey of faith brings, our experiences and our perspectives, and we're bringing them to change and transform the discipleship of those who we are in a life group with. We just need to be willing to be vulnerable first, to share our story first so that others in the group feel safe to do the same. And when we do that, when we commit not only for ourselves but for others, and we start to unravel that incredible potential that every single member of our group kind of brings, we start to realize that we all have different pieces of the puzzle. And that a piece that you're holding onto might be the very piece that someone else has been desperately looking for. And vice versa, someone in your group, in your life group, might have a piece that you are looking for. And when we commit to come together and commit to share with one another, and we start to put all of our experiences, our journey, our lessons together, we start to see that big picture and we learn from each other. Commitment is not something we should be fearful of. It should be something that we give out freely, both for ourselves and those who we are doing life with in a small group. And also, when we come into the personal context, when we come into a small group or a life group, one of the key things that we can contribute is a focus on discipleship. Again, I think discipleship is one of those things that has kind of been misconstrued, misunderstood, because we view it as this formal thing, this structured thing, this thing that I need a Bible degree in order to participate in. It's only for those called to it kind of roles. And as a result, we kind of put it up on a pedestal and we tell ourselves, well, no, that's not for us. And this misconception of discipleship kind of trickles down into our life groups, into our small groups, into that personal context. And then we view it as this authoritative power play, something that throws off the balance within the relationships that we're building in a life group, in a small group. And particularly for us as Australians, we don't like to assume any position of power within a social setting. And so as a result, we allow that fear and that misconception of discipleship to mean that our conversations are more about the practical and less about the profound. We ask about the week, how's work, how's the family, how's that thing that you're doing? And we answer, and we even do it with church. How's church? How's ministry? How's life group even? But we don't ask those profound questions. We avoid them because of fear. What are you learning about in church? How is God challenging you in that space? Who are you praying for out of your life group? Where are you seeing God at work in your life? We need to actually demystify discipleship and understand that having discipleship and focusing on discipleship within a small group setting is not a power play, does not imbalance the relationships there. Discipleship and friendship are actually not mutually exclusive, but rather they are mutually beneficial because they create fellowship. It creates a relational bond shaped on our shared life grounded in Jesus. It's where we are close enough to really see and know each other. Our victories, our strengths, our weaknesses, wrinkles and warts and all. And actually speak into the profound. Because the reality is when a life group, when a small group loses focus of discipleship, then the experience can be pretty lacking. But if we commit to a life group and contribute a focus of discipleship, then we can set that expectation and cultivate that culture that actually says, for me to be a true friend to you is to ask you about your faith, is to invest in your discipleship the same way I would want you to invest in mine. And that closeness, that fellowship, feeds into the third contribution that we need to be bringing into life groups. And that's care. As a result of the closeness that we experience within the personal context, it opens up an opportunity for life groups to be the front line of care for those who are a part of our group. And when I think about providing care for others, I was reminded this week of the emergency kind of speech that you get on a plane. I know who's ridden on a plane any time recently, but you remember, right, when they talk about the oxygen masks falling down, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Put the mask on yourself. When we consider how we can care for others, we first need to remember to care for ourselves. We need to ensure that we are caring for ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically so that we are in the best position possible to provide care for those around us. We need to make sure that we're putting the oxygen mask on us first so that we can care for those around us. But what's interesting is that after you put your oxygen mask, they don't tell you to do laps of the aisle checking every single person on the plane. No. They say you then put the masks on those directly around you, those who are surrounding you. And I think the reality is that when we want to care for others, we need to remember that we cannot be everything for everyone, No one person can provide care for everyone. But what a life group does is it opens up this beautiful small little plot of land that God has given each of us to work within and to be worked in. And so when we provide care, the life group space, those people that God has brought around you and brought to you is the perfect front line for you to provide care and for you to also receive care. And we do that by serving one another. And so all we need to do is ask those in our life group, how can I be serving you this week? And if they don't know how you can serve them, then ask God how to serve them. Pray for them, pray with them, pray for that clarity. Because just imagine what it would be like if everyone in our church was in a life group and every single life group was praying for those within their life group. So every member of our community had half a dozen to a dozen people praying for them, caring for them, focusing on their discipleship, committing into that space. Imagine what kind of transformation each and every one of us would experience. Imagine the depth in which we would be able to go to. Imagine the closeness that we would experience in community and the support and challenge that we would have of our faith each and every week, each time we meet. We want to be a church who commits to the personal context, commits to our life group, focusing in on discipleship and caring for those who God has put around us. And something that I find really interesting about the personal context is it's quite different to the first two contexts that we've already looked at. The divine context, you and God, and the transparent context, you and a few. Those are spaces, those are relational contexts that we as individual followers of Jesus kind of need to do for ourselves. The church can't tell you when to have time alone with God. We also can't force you to be besties with someone and have real intimacy with when it comes to faith. Those things we kind of need to find and explore for ourselves. But the personal context is the first context that we've looked at where there's a partnership or an opportunity for a partnership between church and community. As a church, we are committed to life groups. We are committed to this ministry. We are committed to ensuring that every person here in our community has the opportunity to enter a life group, enter a space where their discipleship can be shaped, where it can be nurtured, where it can be fostered. We want to raise up leaders and train them. We want to resource life groups so that they can explore scripture together and explore faith together. That's our commitment to you. And what we ask is that every member of our community, every member of a life group, myself included, contribute commitment and a focus on discipleship and a willingness to care. Because when we do this together, when we enter the personal context together, willing to be open, then that's when we see real lives changed. That's when I believe as a community, we will come together and deepen our discipleship and be transformed. It's a journey. It's a journey that I want us to take together. And it's a journey that I encourage each and every one of you to consider where your next step is, to be a part of a life group, a small group, a personal context, where we can support and challenge each other together.
Commitment, care, and discipleship. These are the ingredients of life together in the personal context as we follow Jesus together. Due to the current public health orders, our facilities do remain closed to the public. But if you'd like to join us for worship, we'd love for you to do so online. Our services this week are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And you can join in by logging on to gbconline.org.au. Keep an eye on our social media platforms for any changes to this. And until next time, God bless.